Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. In December, the great raconteur Gilbert Sandler passed away. His Baltimore stories have delighted WIPR listeners for a decade and a half. This Sunday, Gil would have celebrated his 96th birthday. Gil's last appearance on Midday was on the 22nd of December, 2017. That was the day that the last of his original stories aired, before we began airing archive editions of these marvelous tales. Today, a birthday tribute to our dear friend. We want to share with you an interview I recorded about 6 months prior to his final appearance on our show in June of 2017, as we approach the 15th anniversary of the Baltimore Stories. This is the first time this interview has been broadcast. Here's our conversation. So congratulations on yet another milestone in a career that's had many milestones and many different things. You've been in the ad business. You've been a newspaper man. You've worked for a nonprofit. You've written 6 books, and you have done Lord knows how many Baltimore stories. Do you have any idea how many you've actually done over these last 15 years?
Well, if you take 4 Fridays in a week, in a month, and take all those months and multiply it out, you could find out, I suppose. But I do cheat once in a while. I have repeated favorites, and there are favorite chestnuts in there that people write in and want to hear again. So you have to subtract that from the numbers. But there's a lot of them.
And you don't cheat very often.
I don't.
And you're still doing them.
Yeah, I'm still doing them.
At age 94.
Right.
That's got to be hard to come up with new ideas and new stories and unearth new things. I mean, how do you do that?
And you're next.
I'm next for what?
Another story.
As a story?
You're a Baltimore story.
Well, that'll have them tuning out in a minute. But, I mean, that's got to be a challenge. I mean, is it more of a challenge now 15 years in than it was at the very beginning?
It is a bit, because I don't get around the streets the way I used to. I still do. But I spent all my working life downtown, what I call downtown, beginning with when we thought of downtown as Howard and Saratoga, then moved over pretty much to the harbor and so forth, and then East Harbor. And you walk around downtown, you work downtown long enough, you run into people and you hear things, and pretty soon there are stories. I remember I did this for the Morning Sun, the Evening Sun, and the Sunday Sun for like 30, 40 years. So I saw a lot and heard a lot, and I'm blessed with a pretty good memory. And the whole thing is about recognizing a story when you see it or when you hear it. And there's stories all around you. Every day you run into a story. You just got to see them when they're there. You got to recognize them. They either have an ending that surprises you or astonishes you or saddens you or makes you laugh. But that has to, and that makes a story. Whenever there's something happening that is surprising, that's a story. And basically, that's what I have done.
And you also have become a great master, always were a great master, at condensing these stories. I mean, some people, they start telling a story. I mean, I have some, you know, a couple of Irish friends, they start telling a story, and boy, you better get comfortable. It's going to take a while. But you manage to condense it into 2 or 3 minutes every week.
Well, the station here is very, very good at picking up an extra word or two. And, you know, Nathan, who does the morning shows, if he sees it going over like a sentence, you'll hear from him. And I remember one time I did a turn in a story, and sure enough, it was Nathan on the phone the next day. He says, "This is long." I said, "No, it fits on the same sheet of paper." He said, "You're using the wrong font." It was 12, and it got more on in terms of time. So
that Nathan Stern is cracking the whip. It can only be so long.
I think it's like 250 words. And if you go over that three words, you'll hear from Nathan.
So that means that you're really good at ferreting out what the most important 250 words are to that story, that beginning, that arc, beginning, the middle, and the end.
You know better than anybody that radio is not necessarily a medium that people are sitting down and listening to exclusively. Like television, they're driving, they're cooking, who knows what, and that you don't really have their full attention. So you can't use a preposition he when the listener forgot who he was. So you have to say John again. And so for you learn those things over the years. And if you're going to make a story memorable, you have to remember that the listener isn't really all that attentive. He's watching the red light and the traffic. He's waiting to jump. So you have to keep that in mind or the story falls apart. At the end, he doesn't remember the beginning unless you...
And you are of this community, Gil. You were born here.
Yeah.
What year?
1923. February 3rd.
And you grew up here.
Yes.
You've worked here, as I said, in a number of different capacities different organizations. Is there something? People talk about how funky Baltimore is. They talk about how quirky it is, how unique Baltimore is. I mean, does it strike you as particularly unique and different than other places around the country?
Well, I've never lived anywhere else. So, you know, I spent time away in college and in the Navy, but I've only lived here. And I think a kind of quirky things happen. It's always impressed me there's an East North Avenue and a West North Avenue and an East West Street and a West East Street and things like that. And, you know, if you want to get to Belair, you have to take Belair Road, which is one word, but Belair, where you're going, is two words. It's things like that. You learn that. And all new reporters come to town and they can't write or get the difference between EUTAW and UTAH. They both say Utah, but to us it's not UTH, it's EUTAW. It's a whole different thing. And you learn these things over the years, and it's one way you know you're in Baltimore. And it is a quirky city. Lots of crazy things that have gone on. And you say, well, they go on in other cities too. But I don't know about that. I don't know what happens here. And I've seen some real goofy things go on in this town.
You have indeed, and you have chronicled them for us so masterfully. I mean, I wonder, the stories that you tell us from the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, you know, way, way back in the day, that you, you know, grew up as a child and then a young adult during this period, do you think that there's a particular importance to those, or a particular quality to those, that in some ways makes them better than the stories that happened 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
I get a lot of email, you know, after every broadcast, email. And some of the people, it turns out, are young people from Syracuse. They've just been here 3 months. So I get them back and forth on email. And what do you find interesting about this? It's really designed for Baltimoreans. The history of it's so interesting, they tell me. You know, and it's a kind of history, you know, Harry Golden, the writer, said, the real stories appear on the back of the clippings of wars and elections. And that's where you learn what really happened. Many, many years ago, I did a story for The Sun, and I had a certain streetcar running on a certain line, the way I said it. And that same day, there was a trucking strike. Serious. Food wasn't coming into town. The next day, letters to the editor. Not one person mentioned the food strike, the trucking strike. They said Sandler had the wrong streetcar. Little things make up big stories, and people notice those things. A lot of these things, you get these long stories at Christmas time. People send you the stories of their family and so forth. My former colleague at The Sun, Ted Lippman, had this to say about that. Mary's engaged. Fred's vice president of the Kiwanis Club. The twins got their braces off. These are easy targets of derision because it's clearly not important news to the recipient, but it is to the sender.
Sure.
You have to,
and those details. I mean, obviously, there's the journalistic dimension that, you know, you got to get the details right. We don't want to say things on the air that aren't exactly and 100% true. Yeah. But then there's also the details that give you the tenor, that give you the color of the story, that give you the mood and the tone of it. Deciding which details to throw in and which details to ignore.
It's instinctive, but. I'm giving a talk up at Roland Park Place where I live, and it's called Confessions of a Storyteller. And I make a few confessions. The one I talk about, number one, people say, call after a certain story, they say, is it true? Oh, is it true? You know, touches my heart, is it true? So, actually, not always. You know, it's true, but sometimes you exaggerate a true point to make a point to give it emphasis. So in that sense, you know, It's not true.
So you take a little liberty every so often.
I take a little liberty. And it's sometimes,
with the literal history of what
the
happened.
The other confession is true. I quote dead people. Okay, how do you know? I tell you that. You don't know, but it's done all the time in the papers. You go into the Sun Morgan, you pick up a quote from somebody. How do you know? And the other
is... the Sun Morgue, by the way, should be clear that people understand.
It's not
a morgue with dead people.
Right.
A morgue with old, it's a morgue with old clips.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I forgot all about it. I don't use that word anymore. And then the other is a confession that, and I hope I offend none of your audience, the great stories for me have always happened in the city. I'm just a city buff. I know things happen out in the county, but they just haven't been of interest particularly. It's the city where this great clash of cultures and ideas and you know, it's just kind of music of its own. And that's where I grew up. You know, it's these stories seem to grow off of city streets. That's a confession. I don't know. Yeah, somebody else could do it. You know, a million people do it. And these people write from, life on a farm. I never got that, you know, but that's okay. So,
I mean, do you find at age 94 that you're interested in the same kinds of stories that you were when you were 74 or 54 or 24?
The same element of interest and surprise. People of all ages, of all faiths, get surprised by the same things. The unexpected, the humorous, and the little things. It's never big things. You know, the Baltimore stories are not about wars or catastrophes or, it's the little things, the stories on the backs of the clippings of the big, that makes up what I think of the Baltimore stories.
Yeah.
And if they've survived for 15 years, that's why they have. And as far as the audience seems to be, you can't get a handle on it. I've tried. They're young, they're old, they're natives, or they're people from out of town. There's some common ground in there. I'm not the only one who tells stories around here. And those of us who do it, and there are many, many competent people doing it, very good people doing it, have in common, we strike this, what Lincoln called the mystic chords of memory. Somehow you relate to it in some way. And you have this sense of place that I talk about here. I was just born and raised in the city and never got over it. And so,
in love from the beginning with the city,
yeah,
and still in love.
It's all I knew. I've never lived in a county. I'm 94 years old, never lived in a county. So,
and at 94, there are some people who say, good for you, Gil. Keep going. You're 94. You should do this for as long as you can, as long as you want. And there are others who say, gosh, Gil, you're nuts. I mean, everybody should be, you of all people could rest on your laurels if you wanted to, because you've got a lot of laurels and you get a very good rest on them if you've decided to ever do that. But you show no signs of slowing down, no signs of wanting
to stop.
Got to
get through this interview.
And so far you have, all right? And so, you know, but any, does it ever cross your mind? Well, you know, I'm 94 years old and I don't have to keep doing this anymore.
Well, I'm not your thinking man's writer, so I can't give you all these observations. I just do it without much thought about why I'm doing it. And I really don't have any thoughts on how it affects people or how I do it. It's just what we do. You get up and you do it. And so I do it. It seems to come natural. When I hear it, it takes about 30 seconds to go back on my computer and knock it out. If I don't hear it, then it's a good story. People say, how long does it take you to do it? A good story, about 30 seconds. A bad story, 2 weeks.
Yeah. The material is everything.
It just writes itself. There's so many great stories out there.
But you really got to keep an ear to the ground to remember them, to get them, to talk to the people you might need to talk to jog your memory and to jog other people's memories. I mean, it's a constant. I remember Frank DeFord telling me.
Oh, Frank DeFord.
Wonderful storyteller
great.
Himself.
Oh, well,
great,
the best.
Right? And he said, same thing. He said, you know, the hardest part is coming up with the idea for the essay every week.
That's
But once you got that, it takes care of itself. But it is a hard part, isn't it, to come up with the idea?
Well, you can go barren for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, as a matter of fact, till it hits you. Then you can write three or four at a time.
Well, we are delighted that you have been writing more than three and four at a time, but for these 15 years here at WIPR and before that, Well, I guess it wasn't WJHU. Was it always WYPR when you started?
You guys took it from Hopkins.
Right.
Yeah. And that's when I started.
Yeah.
Our
15th anniversary is your 15th anniversary.
Yeah. I had written a book for Hopkins. I think it was called, it's about the war, World War II. No, it was called Small Town Baltimore. And so I was on the Mark Steiner show in those days. And he allowed, as you do, people to call in. Well, the switchboard blew up. I mean, it wasn't just a call here and a call there. I mean, the lights were flat all over. What goes on here? And he took call after call after call, and he could see there was interest in this. And then he got to talking with me about that. And I was asked to write a few. I had no idea that I was going to read them. It turned out that I was asked to read them, and I did, and I was a little worried about that. And I asked a very good friend of mine, a professional, Rita Becker, renowned person in the field.
Professional narrator,
I said, Rita, listen to this, and I'll take some lessons from you on how to do this. I got this new assignment. So the thing goes on at 7:30, and 25 of 8, the phone ring. Rita says, don't change a word. You got it free. What it is, keep it that way. And it's been that way ever since. So we can thank Rita for...
Well, we can thank more than Rita. We can thank you, Gil Sandler. It's been a joy to talk to you as always, and we look forward to the next story.
See what hits me, right?
That's it.
I'm honored to be here.
Gilbert Sandler. We recorded this conversation in June of 2017. He was 94 years old at the time. Gil remained intellectually curious and funny and vigorous until just a couple of weeks before he passed away in December. He would have celebrated his 96th birthday this Sunday. Super Sunday. Super indeed. At the time of this interview, we hadn't yet added up the number of stories Gil had written for his Baltimore Stories series. We've since figured out that by the time he stopped writing and recording them in December of 2017, he left us with more than 175 beautifully crafted stories. We will continue to air them here on WYPR every Friday morning during Morning Edition for the foreseeable future. An archive of Gil's stories is housed at the Baltimore Museum of Industry. That's it for this edition of Midday Today. Coming up Monday, Senator Chris Van Hollen will be my guest. We'll get his take on the chances of a resolution to the border security debate between President Trump and Congress. We'll talk about foreign policy and how the latest developments in the Mueller investigation will affect the work of both the House and the Senate. Senator Chris Van Hollen joins me Monday on Midday. Thanks to Bottoms Up Bagels for providing lunch today. Bottoms Up Bagels is a small-batch pop-up bagel shop preparing hand-rolled New Jersey-style bagels, house-cured lox, and specialty cream cheeses. Inspired by traditions of bagel making dating back to the 1940s, Bottoms Up Bagels offers customized catering packages of all kinds. You can find them at the Waverly Farmers Market and at bottomsupbagels.com. Midday's director and engineer is Luke Spicknell. Rob Sivak, Sienna Greaves, and Kathleen Cahill produce the program. Jamila Krempel is WYPR's digital producer. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. Morgan Omey is our intern. Before we leave you, one more contribution from the great Gilbert Sandler. Gil loved to sing. He would break into song at the drop of a hat. And he loved hats, too, by the way. One day, while recording one of his stories with our director and engineer, Luke Spicknell, he sang this little tune.
I've stayed around and played around this old town too long. Summer's almost gone, yeah, winter's coming on. I've stayed around and played around this old town too long, and I feel like I've got to travel on.
Safe travels, Gil. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening.